Good morning, and thank you for standing by. Welcome, everyone, to Demed's conference call to discuss results relative to Q3 2021. Here with us today, we have Mr. Giulio Moutinho, the company's CEO, and Mr. Antonio Napi, the company's CFO and IRO. This event is being recorded and will be available at the company's IR website, and all participants will be connected in listen-only mode during the company's remarks. At the end, we'll start a Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Before moving on, we'd like to say that forward-looking statements made during this conference call concerning the company's business outlook and also financial and operating targets and projections are based on beliefs and assumptions on the part of the company's management and also on information currently available. Forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not materialize. Investors should have in mind that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may affect the company's future performance and thus lead to results that will differ considerably from those expressing these forward-looking statements. I'd like now to turn the floor over to Mr. Antonio Napi, the company's CFO and IRO, who will start the presentation. Please, Mr. Napi, you have the floor. Apologize for the technical glitch. We'll now resume our results conference call. Okay, so starting, as I was saying, in our second slide, we can see the main highlights of Panvel within this Q3 2021. We reached a growth in sales of 28.1% in the quarter, and that growth was boosted by a larger market share across all states in the southern region, reinforcing our leadership position. Our gross margin stayed at a high level, reaching 29.6% at Panvel, a growth of 0.2% over next year's third quarter. This growth in sales was also followed by a high digital share, which reached 16.3%, having grown 0.2 percentage points over the second quarter and 1 point over the first quarter. Even the same scenario of accelerated growth. Another indicator which is good is our NPS. In September, reached the highest level of our history at 81 points, a growth of over 5 points when compared to early in the year. Panvel is the only company that can align our combined digital and physical growth and the best satisfaction for clients. Our EBITDA reached 4% in the quarter, in line with our expectations, where we had a natural pressure of physical expansion. We have opened already 59 stores in the past 12 months. We also had a negative impact in the performance of the wholesale, whose margins and sales were impacted by the closing of our DC in Passo Fundo and the transition for the new one in San José dos Pinhais. That impact on wholesale was 0.2 percentage points, which means that in practice, in normal conditions, the company would have reached 4.2% of EBITDA, pretty much the same one of the same quarter of 2020. And lastly, our adjusted net income reached 20.3 million, a margin of 2.4%, also quite healthy and consistent with the company's history. Speaking of consistency, on slide number three, we'd like to talk about our consistent growth. Gross revenue and the average revenue per store has been growing very robustly for 13 and 7% respectively, results which are above this period's inflation rate, always combined with increased market share. It's worth mentioning that this is a company that never had a loss in its history. So we are proud to say that consistency, solidity, and innovation are trademarks of Panvel. Speaking of sales, on the next slide, we reinforce our strong sales growth in the third quarter. As I mentioned, we grew 18% over 2020. That growth, once again, was above that of the market, both in terms of network and also in terms of associations and independents. That growth is not driven only by physical expansion, but also driven by our average growth per store, which sat at above levels than that of competitors, as can be seen on that same slide. We continue to try to increase that average sales per store. 525,000 a month was reached in the third quarter, and we reached that objective even amidst accelerated expansion. When we analyze same store sales and mature sales to stores on the next slide, you see very positive results. 10.6% in same store and 7.9% in mature store sales. Now moving on and talking about an expansion plan, I'd like to enforce that our target remains at opening 65 stores in 2021. We opened 11 stores in the third quarter, a number which was impacted by the delay and bureaucratic procedures in some of our cities. But we have resumed normal levels in October. We have already opened 7 stores. It's worth mentioning that in the third quarter, we reached the historical mark of 500 stores, and we have a long way to go. As a consequence of the growth of average sales and of physical expansion, on slide 7, we can see that the company's market share in regional terms also grew, reaching 11.3%, an evolution of 0.4% when compared to last year. In addition, this great market share was materialized across all states where we operate. We continue to have an enviable market share in digital with over 40% in the southern region, an undisputed position of leadership. Speaking of digital, on slide 8, the numbers make it clear that Panvel remains a benchmark in the pharma market. Sales reached 16.3%, an evolution when compared to both Q1 and Q2, even with an increase in client flow in physical stores. All that growth in sales is directly related to the quality of our deliveries. We continue to have the fastest delivery in the pharma retail, the ability to deliver up to an hour in all cities where we operate. And we do that with a 97% service level, very robust. To make that possible, we put together a structure of 140 delivery stores and 9 small DCs, or our dark stores, not to include all the click and collect possibilities, which is present in all our stores. Also important to emphasize, all the digital growth in our case is not offending margins. Using the structure of existing stores for delivery and the lower CAC of those stores, we can accelerate digital sales in a profitable way. Lastly, our virtuous circle closes when we measure our client satisfaction level. On slide number 9, we have a summary of the main service KPIs that we have. We have a dashboard that is monitored on a weekly basis, and we are very proud of our teams because of the levels we've reached. Our NPS, as I mentioned before, reached the level of 81, a record level, a growth of over 5 points when compared to the beginning of the year. That growth was boosted, it was driven by all, it happened across all our channels, stores, sites, everything. We have the best assessment of pharma retail, including competitors. We have the best assessed app of all competitors as well. Moving on to slide number 10, Panvel Clinic. As you know, the translation of our health ecosystem is Panvel Clinic. We are very well positioned to capture that great change in behavior from clients that now looks at drugstores as a health hub, not only as a sales point. We expanded our vaccination rooms. Today, we have almost 300 stores well-equipped for the Panvel Clinic. In the third quarter, we increased our position in leadership in terms of vaccination, reaching a market share of 55%. We have applied more than 150,000 vaccines, especially H1N1, with a growth of over 300% when compared to last year. We also applied over 179,000 quick tests in the third quarter, maintaining our regional leadership when it comes to testing with a robust market share of 31%. As a consequence, in Q3, we reached a level of 2.8% of share in terms of services in our revenue. Another benchmark in pharma retail, which translates our mission of providing health and well-being to our clients. On slide number 11, in closing comments on sales, we reach Panvel products, another fundamental pillar of our strategy, for margins and brand. Panvel is the only network where clients can really take the brand into their homes. In Q3, the share of Panvel products reached 7.5% of retail sales and 19.1% of participation over hygiene and beauty products. Once again, becoming a benchmark for the Brazilian pharma retail. The history line on the right-hand side is proof of that. The chart shows the success of our strategy, which combined consistent growth in sales with growth in margins throughout the past decade. In year-to-date numbers, the growth reached close to 33%, ensuring that the participation of Panvel products will continue to increase. Above 30% of those items are made in by our industry, and that verticalized approach ensures superior margins for our operations. On slide 12, I'd like to share some images of our products, and some new launches are in the horizon. Now, talking about gross margin, on slide 13, we can see its evolution. Gross margin in retail was once again one of the highlights of the quarter, having grown 0.2 percentage points over the third quarter of 2020. The good result was driven by the purchase of medications, the pre-hiking prices, and also participation of Panvel products. Looking ahead and removing seasonal effects, there are good outlook for gross margin as we evolve across margin projects focused on increasing margins and in selling generic products, and also other lines linked to convenience and hygiene and beauty products. When we analyze our expenses on slide 14, we have kept our expenses at similar levels as those of past quarters, something expected as we expand our stores. We cannot forget the inflationary impacts on expenses such as personnel and leases. We also obtained gains of 0.1% in our administrative expenses due to our good operating leverage, even maintaining the reinforcement of strategic themes such as technology, data, and so on. We continue to present the best percentage of admin expenses in the industry. It would be easy to achieve more results in the short term if we were to uphold or to hold off on investments, but we have a clear vision of where we want to get to, and we are in line with the strategy and our plans. In part, to reinforce that expense control and high productivity are part of the company's DNA. When we analyze our KPIs, such as employees per store, we improve quarter on quarter, as can be seen on slide 14. Working with productivity is one of the best ways to reduce the impact of inflation on costs. After talking about sales, margins, and expenses, we get to the result. Our adjusted EBITDA closed the quarter at 34.8 million BRLs, equivalent of 4% of our gross revenue, and a growth of approximately 8% over last year. As I mentioned, that result is in line with plan, considering the investments made and the store expansion. An outlier was an additional pressure of 0.2 percentage points coming from wholesale, which saw a more challenging quarter in terms of sales and margins due to the closing down of our DC in Passo Fundo and the ramp up of the new CD in Santo Antônio dos Pinhais. We expect those margins to resume normal levels in this next quarter. Our EBITDA without that effect would have stayed at around 4.2%, pretty much in line with what we had in the third quarter of 2020. Looking to EBITDA of retail, in the next slide, our consistency becomes even clearer. Even with a pressure in the second quarter for the reasons already mentioned, our margin is in line with our historical average. Accelerating store expansion in the fourth quarter and still maintain that consistency clearly indicates the success of our store operations and our good ramp up of new stores. In line with everything that was said, we reached to adjusted net income on slide 17. Net income in adjusted terms reached 20.3 million BRLs, equivalent to 2.5% of revenues. With that, we continue to position ourselves as one of the most profitable operations in the pharma industry. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank our whole team who worked hard to deliver those numbers, always focused on the client. Moving on, and on slide 18, we can see our cash cycle. We continue in our process of normalizing our stocks and inventories. We reduced our inventory average time in 25 days since the first quarter, and our cash cycle has improved by 7 days since then. We understand that there is room to improve both in our inventory terms and our supplier deadlines, and that trend will continue to be pursued in the next quarters. Also important to mention is our capital structure, which is quite solid. We have generated 47 million net cash flow in the third quarter. We are in a positive position of 41 million BRLs now. We understand that this structure brings about a lot of comfort to continue to invest in the coming quarters, and makes a difference in a scenario where we have higher interest rates, as we are seeing now. As we close our financial and operating indicators, we now share with you some of our strategic pillars. As we've shared with the market earlier, including in our Panvel Day, which happened on October 26, all actions are supported by strategic pillars, digital, health ecosystem, and others, all supported by people, culture, innovation, and technology. Speaking of those pillars, I'd like to start by expansion of our physical stores and move on to slide number 20. It's nothing new that physical stores are and will continue to be for a long time the operational hub of the business. And that's the main pillar of all, be it because of convenience, because of the support for the last mile delivery, or be it because of experimenting, or for the lowest cost of client acquisition. Being successful in geographic expansion is key for all the other pillars to be successful. As we mentioned in our Panvel Day, we have a very well-defined expansion plan for the coming 5 years, focused on the southern region of Brazil. In 2021, we are comfortable to say that those 65 stores will be open. 30% of section is concluded. For next year, we want to open another 65 stores. Analyzing the numbers on that slide, we can say safely that we are delivering great numbers across all our regions. And special when we analyze performances in Paraná and Santa Catarina states, regions where we still have a lot of maturing stores. We are closing that gap year on year with the performance coming from the stores in Rio Grande do Sul, where we have our more mature base. And more importantly, when you analyze our market share in those states in close numbers close to 5%, the opportunity is clear. There is room for us to grow more with a very low risk of cannibalization. Panvel is the only network or chain in the southern region who has already crossed frontiers and is well positioned to operate in other states. Through very careful work done throughout many years, we have made the brand well-known and respected, not only where we are originated, but in other states as well. And that strategy is also addressing the expanded middle class. Popular stores represent more than 20% of our expansion plans this year. And if we consider that our standard format is hybrid, servicing different types of public, it becomes even clearer that Panvel is doing their homework to increase their share across different social classes. If you want to analyze our recent store crop, we can look at the next slide, where numbers speak for themselves. We talk about stores opening in the three states of the southern region between 2018 and 2020. Those are the results coming from those stores when we analyze data accumulated in this year. The orange bars represent the average, historical average for each period. In terms of the return of investment, ROIC, you can see that stores are still maturing, are performing way above the expected average for the same period. So 2020 and 2019, especially well. When you analyze the result generated by those stores as measured by EBITDA, the difference is even larger. For 2018 and 2020, those numbers have already exceeded in the short period of time the Panvel's average EBITDA of 10.5%. And that means that as they reach maturity, those stores will lead our averages even higher. After talking about the stores, we can look at slide 22 and talk about our clients. Through our relationship program called Bem Panvel, we have invested heavily in data science and analytics, always respecting the best practices of data assessment. And results are becoming clearer with over 11 million customers within a database which is unified, one of the main distinguishing factors of PalmVR. The number of clients has grown over 20% in a year. With that unified base, we have our ways to follow up on our client journey, especially consumers of continued use and chronic disease products. Along this last journey, we're now launching projects to make those clients more loyal, as we can see on slide 23, using very simple concepts that require deep data analysis. We're working around treatment management through notifications, reminders of treatment medications, and the conversion rate for that is over 25%. Another important pillar is that of the economy, providing accessibility of price and affordability to allow for adherence to the treatment. And we have a partnership with laboratories, over 120 SKUs, where we provide special conditions for our clients to buy, the conversion rate, which is also very high. In only 60 days, almost 80% of our sales of those items have already been part of our program, BPM. Over 100,000 clients enrolled, and they're growing in an exponential manner. And lastly, the support care pillar, where we can share relevant contents and make available other health services such as vaccinations, exams, and others. Speaking of services, on slides 24 and 25, we try to summarize our health ecosystem. Early in the call, we shared several numbers of our PlanVel clinic and the services we provide. Now, as a drugstore has become a health hub and that offering quality services has to do with our mission of offering health and well-being, we are focused on bringing other options of services to our clients, a menu that goes way beyond COVID tests and vaccines. If we combine all the services we provide, in the third quarter of 2021, we reached a market share of almost one third of the region where we operate, a number that makes us all proud. And there's a lot to be done yet. For example, we already offer a wide range of TLRs, tests, and home care services. PlanVel was a pioneer in Brazil in the sale and scheduling of tests and vaccinations. We are now launching a new innovation, which is the sale of all our services range by WhatsApp, using a chatbot to help or support in the service. We have no doubt that the addressable market for drugstores has increased, especially that of prevention, and we are well positioned to face that. All those services and several others that will come have a very important role as they bring more flow and recurrence to our physical and virtual stores. Clients recognize that PlanVel equates health, and that's one of our strengths. I'd like also to take the chance to emphasize the work we are doing with health operators through our special medications agreements. On slide 26, we have more details on that. That's a B2B2C relationship, which is another strength of PlanVel. Almost a third of the sales already are part of that strategy. We're investing heavily in our relationship with health insurance company and operators through different possibilities and always looking for other partners. The investments in that relationship has already brought concrete results. The sales of special medications has grown 30% in Q3. And PlanVel already has a fourth of that market in the South region. And many new things are coming up in the fourth quarter. I can mention an agreement with the Foundation Copel in Paraná, which started now in November, which will bring another 40,000 lives to our base, further increasing our responsibility of providing health and well-being to all those new clients. And many other agreements in the pipeline, which will increase our sales in the coming quarters. Now, moving away from our health ecosystem, I'd like to reinforce another important ecosystem, that of innovation. Innovation is also in the company's DNA, has been so for many years, and I have plenty of examples. National Retail is one of the best apps in the country, or a platform which is omnichannel in a native term, which allows us to accelerate our digital acceleration. In slide 27, I'll share our mandala of our innovation ecosystem. We had opportunity on Pine Valley Day of detailing each one of those elements. That's why I'll reinforce those which are putting us closer to startups. Our Pine Valley Labs is already moving to its third year, having already mapped over 240 startups connected to 18 and 10 in phase of connection. Several of the solutions we saw during this presentation have gone through this. Now we are officially starting our program to accelerate startups, which is already in the phase of selecting companies. At the end of the process, we'll have between 6 and 8 startups whose applications will be used by our business with the possibility of investing from Pine Valley. We believe that there are good opportunities to accelerate our growth with the support of several startups in the health market. And with all that toolbox in hand, Pine Valley continues to evolve in the digital front. On slide 28, I'd like to reinforce that we continue to follow on our roadmap and with a lot still to come. Our challenge is to remain ahead of the pharma market, always with the best solutions and the best quality of delivery. For example, we have evolved this year as we revamped our website with new technology so that it can grow and evolve more quickly. We are now investing heavily in WEX improvements, both in the app and in the website, in our search engine as well. We have already launched a new site and a renewed app, always focused on making customers' lives easier when they need, which is when they want to find or buy a product. We continue also in our marketplace project, whose launch will happen in 2022. On slide 29, I have some details of the project. That marketplace is focused on well-being, health, and nutrition. We have in its first wave a larger focus on depth and a potential to add from 50 to 80 sellers and increase 15,000 SKUs to our portfolio. In this project, we are quite focused on client, on quality, and the last mile service. It's no use having a good e-commerce up and running if you cannot ensure high quality service and fast deliveries. We continue to develop that project with a special attention to all details. Now, moving towards the end of our presentation, I'll be talking about ESG. Our Todos Bem platform is at full steam. On slide 30, you'll find 2 QR codes that will take you straight to the platform's website and to our manifest. We are engaged in the main 4 pillars, which are our people, our clients, our partners, and our home. The platform unites all initiatives already put in place by the group and brings more targets for the coming 5 years. I'd like to invite you all to visit the platform by using those QR codes to get to know about our commitments in ESG. Along those lines, I'd like to highlight on slide 31, 2 important deliveries. And in terms of renewable energy, we have just inaugurated our new plant in the city of El Dorado do Sul. Is the largest in the state and the 4th largest in Brazil, supplying 50% of all the energy needs of our offices and our DCs. That means reducing emissions of 140 tons of CO2 in the atmosphere and planting thousands of trees. And we want to have 100% of our stores being supplied by renewable energy until the end of next year. That number has now reached 40%. Another important delivery in terms of G was the closing of our migration to the Novo Mercado, another landmark as we advance in our governance procedures. To close the presentation on slide 32, I'd like to share with you a bit of our expansion plan for 2022. We are very bullish for the 4th quarter of this year, and it's time to look ahead. First, we expect to have another robust year in terms of growth, supported by the many projects I have already mentioned, as the chronic disease journey, focus on generics and special medications. We will focus on the selling of medications next year. Also, in 2022, stores located inside shopping malls will resume pre-pandemic sales levels. And we'll see also categories which are now not doing so well, resuming previous levels. In terms of gross margins, we intend to maintain healthy levels next year at levels very close to what we had in previous years. The increase in the participation of generics and Pine Valley products, in addition to a relevant share of services, will allow us to balance the increase of medications, special medications, and also investment in other strategies. Just as we expect to maintain well-balanced margin percentages. And speaking of expenses, after important investments in logistics, solar plants, and internal teams, we expect in 2022 to have some gain in the productivity in our everyday operations and also some scale gains as we leverage our operations. All that scenario reinforces the view that Panvel is in fact a unique and safe asset in the pharma industry, representing a great opportunity for new investors and shareholders. We close this cycle very satisfied with the results, and we remain optimistic for the remaining of the year and for next year. As we've shared on Panvel Day, we are following up on our planning for 2025. The idea is to double the company's sales until then and improve our margins. In addition, I'd like to reinforce that this is our last call where we should be using the corporate name Grupo Dimed. We'll be starting to be called Grupo Panvel in January next year. The brand Panvel encompasses all the attributes which are fueling our success, both in the past, now in the present, and as we move forward to the future. So once again, thank you all for participating. And now we are available for questions that you may have. Thank you. Thank you. We'll now start the Q&A session. To ask a question by audio, please *9. You can also ask questions using the webcast by posting the question on the chat box on your screen and then clicking on send. Please stand by while we pull for questions. Our first question comes from Mr. Mateus Kidis. Can you comment on the expansion of 65 new stores during the year of 2021? Are the remaining projects already undergoing, or should we expect to have some of those units delayed for 2022? Thank you. We are quite confident that we'll deliver the 65 stores still in 2021. All the projects are ongoing, the construction works as well. And the number of openings in October shows that we are on the right track to open the planned number of stores. We are also happy with the results shown by those stores, especially the popular and hybrid ones, which have shown ability to bring to the company more clients, more customers coming from different social classes. As I mentioned during the presentation, when we look at 2022, we already have an expansion level, which is quite robust. We're going to be opening another 65 stores next year. 70% have been prospected. We also start in Q1 next year with a good number of store openings, something that didn't happen in 2021, for example. And this will give us a good rhythm for the rest of the year. Of once again, investing in winning projects of stores focused on popular and standard formats. And also the number of openings in the second half, they happened because in the first half, we had the second wave of the pandemic. So there were many restrictions in terms of opening new stores. So that's why the higher number of openings in the second half. But ideally, we would balance openings across different quarters. But in this case, in this year, there was a concentration in the second half of the year. So next year, expect to have a more balanced pathway. But without a doubt, we reached a number of 65. And for next year, 65 once again, as it was shown. Thank you. Our next question comes from Ms. Maria Clara Infantozzi from Itaú. Mrs. Maria Clara, you may carry on. I think we can move to the next one, perhaps. Our next question from Mr. Carlos. Would it be possible for you to update us on the implementation process of the San Jose dos Pinhais DC? What were the impacts on the third quarter from that migration? When do you expect to see the effects finishing? Thank you. Yes, we still see some impact in the third quarter coming from that transition. Moving an important DC from one state to another is not an easy task. And things happen as we expected, but without a doubt, there are opportunities to increase the level of productivity at that DC, and with that obtains further gains. What we can share right now is that this transition has been completed. In the fourth quarter, we will observe important scale gains when compared to the fourth quarter of last year. So we are very happy with the results. Of course, it brought about some extra costs, but they are already reflected in our sales expenses. And from now on, it'll be a DC that will bring positive results to our operation. Thank you. Our next question comes from Mrs. Maria Clara from Itaú. Mrs. Maria Clara, you may carry on. Hello, everyone. Thank you. My question is about the profitability expectations in the short run. We saw that there was some pressure on Q3 results, and it was driven by the physical expansion. Given that you are still accelerating the expansion, can we expect those pressures on EBITDA to continue in the short run, or could we understand that pressure will be offset by an increase in sales and is the result of a process of maturation of stores? Thank you for your question. In our long-term view, as you mentioned, it is only natural that we'll have pressures on our EBITDA when we talk about physical store expansion. When we look at the fourth quarter and also at 2022, some pressure will be there, but it'll start being offset by other actions. This will be clear in the fourth quarter, where we'll be having a better margins. And throughout 2022, our expectations are that the pressure on expansion will be there, but actions such as our new DC in San Jose dos Pinhais, those productivity gains that I mentioned, and scale gains with an average sale per store, all of that combined will help us offset that. Those pressures. But one thing has to be clear. There are no miracles or no leaps within our planning for our next 5 years. Those margin gains in EBITDA will come gradually, brick by brick, until we reach 2025 with a margin closer to 7%, which was what we expect. So looking ahead at next year, we expect some margin gain, yes, but it'll still be only the first step until we get to 2025. Our next question comes from Mrs. Karen Sayuri from Genial Investimentos. You may carry on, Ms. Sayumi. My question, thank you for taking my question, is about medication policies. that were in the release, there was an increase in the share of medications. I'd like to understand, how can we look at the mix in the short run with this new stores being opened and everything? When we look at expectations for mix, we are quite close that medication share will continue to evolve. We are very well positioned to continue to evolve in generics, and also especially because special medications is going strong. When we look at over the counter, there are very important elements, several categories that were pressured, especially in 2020, as fever, pain, flu, colds, they resumed robust growth in Q3. As we resume some kind of normalcy in society, and we understand that Panvel will continue to have a very important work in OTC as well, and vitamins, prevention, and so on. So Panvel has always had a strength around hygiene and cosmetics, and will continue to be there. That's an important thing for us. But when we look ahead, the projects that we have on the table, they will take us to a growth in the share of medications within our mix. What we can expect to see is that the development of special meds and also the new business area or new policy around generics, which will be live in December, that will add competitiveness to the business. The continued use also bringing in an important share focused on a better experience for customers. So all of those investments in data science and new businesses, they will bring significant growth in the medications front for the coming years. And we also see that already happening, because some categories which were under pressure are now growing, such as makeup products. We see that convenience consumption is now resuming. That's something we didn't have in 2020 and nor in 2021. Consumers went to drugstores to buy specific things, and impulse purchases were left aside. Now there is an opportunity for us to explore as we resume normal activities. So without a doubt, we can expect that in addition to medications, we can expect good results in hygiene and cosmetics as well. Thank you. To ask a question by audio, press star 9. Questions by webcast can be done through the platform on the left-hand side of your screen. Our next question comes from Mateus. And the question is, what's the acceptance level to services at drugstores after the drop of COVID-19 testing? What can we see going forward with the new services to be added to Panvel units in the next years, now that COVID testing are no longer mandatory? Mateus, thank you for your question. That's something we've been observing quite closely. And right now, where clearly COVID testing is going down, we are quite optimistic as in terms of the relevance of the services that we provide. The Panvel brand is always linked to health and well-being because of the way we service our clients. And that has made our lives easier when COVID struck, because the population accepted, or they would find it okay to go into a drugstore and purchase those services. Now, going forward, what can we see? On the vaccination front, which is already quite important, but there is a lot of room to grow as well, and we'll continue to invest on that. As I mentioned, Panvel is a leader, and our objective is to expand that leadership. A lot more to come on the vaccination front. In addition to COVID testing, we are already offering other options, most of which do not have the same impact as COVID testing, but we do believe that throughout time, as consumers have been learning to go to a drugstore to buy services, that will eventually happen. If we go back to pre-pandemic times, most chains were not looking at that, even though we were. Today, it is proving to be a very good growth of revenue, and that growth will happen not only inside stores, but through partnerships. And Panvel has been fostering partnerships with clinics, labs, and others. And that has to do with this effort, all this investment we're making in the area of special meds. And also our contacts with health insurance operators, we are now making available more services to meet the expectations of each one of those consumers. So our expectations are quite positive. We are very optimistic, and we continue to invest in opening new stores with the Panvel Clinic. All the stores that we open, we have a clinic alongside, and that reflects the belief that we have that drugstore services are here to stay, and it has to do with providing health and good well-being to the population, which is our mission. Thank you. We now close the Q&A session. Questions which were not answered during the Q&A will be forwarded to the company's IR area and will be addressed later. I'd like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Antonio Nappi for his final remarks. Please, Mr. Nappi, you may carry on. Thank you, everyone. I'd like to reinforce my gratitude, my pleasure of having had you all here this morning. We continue and to move on very optimistically, and we are already looking at 2022 and putting our best foot forward. We are very solid, very robust, very consistent in our results. We delivered numbers quarter on quarter, and that keeps us reassured that we'll continue to deliver good performance. As I said, that trust, that consistency, that solidity are trademarks of Panvel. DMED's conference call, thank you all, have a nice day. DMED's conference call is now over. Thank you all for participating and have a nice day, everyone. Thank you.